for this opportunity to speak today and this evening, and also to thank all of you for the love and support that I've received here over the years growing up here. China. As David mentioned, I've spent the last almost full year in China, and it's been quite the experience. As most of you know, communism is the political view in China at the moment. Mission work is illegal there. The church is pretty much illegal there. And so it's difficult. We go over there. I was a member of a group called China Now, which is pretty much two guys that recruit Christians to go to China and teach the Bible. And the way we get into the country is we teach English at a university, conversational English. It has nothing to do with the Bible. China wants their people to speak English because that's the international language and helps their economy. So they hire Americans and English speakers to come and speak English, to teach English classes. They know that Christians make better teachers. They are more willing to do the work. They're better at it. They have a work ethic. And so they want Christians, typically, to come and do the teaching, to teaching the English classes. And so they know that we are going to be teaching the Bible also. They're willing to overlook it, though, as long as, you know, we don't make a big show about it. So we can't exactly have big gospel meetings and handing out flyers and inviting people. But what we can do is through our English classes, we meet people. Through our daily life, we meet people. Most of the people that we speak, that we talk to, speak English. And most of them are either in college or have graduated college. These are the people that in the future are going to be the leaders in China. And through our meeting them, we talk to them about the Bible. And through that, they learn about the Bible. They learn about Christ. And hopefully, they believe in it. And eventually, you know, are baptized and come to know Christ. And that's pretty much what we do there. That's what I've been doing there for the last 10 or 11 months. China. There's a map of China. That red outline is Zhejiang Province, which is where I was. Most of the work has been in Hubei and Hunan Province. And so there's a large group of Christians there. There's, I believe, over 90 cities that have currently teachers in them. In addition to that, there are even more cities that have people that used to be teachers with the China Now program, or just people that learned from Americans and have moved to other cities and are spreading the gospel themselves. But like I said, I was in Zhejiang Province, which is here. I was in the city of Ningbo, which, as you can see, is just south of Shanghai, just to give you an idea of where it was. It's a city of about 2 million to 4 million, depending on who you're asking and what they considered the city to be. But it's a really big city. Although, for China, it's actually a really small city, which is just really mind-boggling. But I was working in Ningbo Dashui, Ningbo University, and I was teaching English. I had about 10 hours of work a week that I taught English. The entire rest of the week, I had free time. And so I had Bible studies with other Christians and with people just seeking Christ. A lot of times, people will want to go and study the Bible with you just so they can practice English. But a lot of them actually are seeking Christ. And it's just a wonderful blessing. But like I said, it is illegal. We meet in house churches. We just go to people's homes. Our group this past year was about 20 or 25, and that's including six foreigners, six Americans, but about 20 or 25 people, and we would meet in people's homes, which China says is illegal. You can't do it. They do have a type of freedom of religion. They are allowed to believe whatever they want. But as far as practicing religion, pretty much you have to be a member of one of the government-approved churches, which pretty much to be government-approved, you have to listen to what the Communist Party says in regards to what you can teach. And so you have a Communist Party member that attends your meetings and reports to the Communist Party and tells you, okay, this is what you can talk about, this is what you can't talk about, this is what you're allowed to teach, this is what you're not allowed to teach. Which, as I'm sure you know, that's a problem. That's not good. And so the church there, it does exist, but it's underground. It is persecuted. The year before I went, 2 years ago, the city of Ningbo had a big government crackdown on house churches. And in fact, the group that we met at, the group that I met with, had a lot of problems. The police were called in, and they were told, look, you got to stop doing this. And so this past year, we had to be extra careful because we were being watched much more heavily than normal. And normally we're watched pretty heavily. But we were able to do a lot of good works. This is a picture. I took a couple of pictures of the group. This is at the beginning of the year. This is Peter. He's a member. He was baptized a couple years ago. He's a graduate student at the university. This is Carol and Mildred. They both work in Ningbo. One of them, Carol, I think, is leaving, moving to another city. And so we're going to lose one of our members to another city. But this is Maggie and somebody else. They only came that one time, I think. And that's Zach. He's a graduate from Harding. He was there the previous year and a good bit of this last year. He's one of the other teachers. But this is, as you can see, there's somebody's hand over here. Most of the members that we meet with are college students. And so for the most part, they're there for maybe 4 years, and then they move somewhere else, which makes it difficult to have a stable group. And so that's something that we have to deal with. Another thing we have to deal with is the majority of people who come, the majority of people who believe and are baptized, are women. And so there's a very real lack of leadership in China, because most of the men either don't care or don't believe. The few that do are, you know, they're very timid. They don't want to speak out too often. Pretty much everyone in China, no matter how good their English is, will tell you their English is not very good. And for some reason, no matter how often we tell them, they want to, whenever they do want do something in the group, in the worship service, they want to do it in English. We tell them, no, you can do it in Chinese. That's fine. You know, would you lead a prayer? My English is not good. You can pray in Chinese. That's fine. But a lot of them don't want to stand out, which is part of the communist teachings. It's the same in all the classes and just in life there. They don't want to stand out. They don't want to be noticed above anyone else or below anyone else. They just want to be part of the masses, which is a big problem that we have to deal with. This picture is much darker than I wanted. But this one was taken a week and a half ago. The last Sunday that I was there, a group of us went out afterwards and ate together, which we would typically do every couple of weeks or so. A bunch of us would go and eat together, just fellowship with each other, because that's another problem. A lot of the Chinese work 6 or 7 days a week, and so there's not really a whole lot of time that they spend with each other. And so we try and get together every couple weeks at least, and, you know, just go and have dinner together, or go and, you know, do some karaoke together, because karaoke is huge in pretty much all of Asia. But like I said, this is a lot darker than I wanted. This is, you can't see her, but this is Cherry and her husband, Luke. Cherry is one of the strongest Christians that we have in Ningbo, Chinese Christians. She's been a Christian for many years, and she works at the university that I was teaching at. In fact, she is the one who hires the foreign teachers for that particular group in the university. But she was a big help in organizing. The reason that we went to Ningbo is because she requested some foreigners to come and help the church there, to help expand it and grow. Her husband, he comes to the meetings and he studies. He has not been baptized yet, though. He's seeking, but he doesn't quite believe yet, I guess. This is Julia. She was baptized April 1st, which is also her birthday, which is why she did it on April 1st. She thought it would have more meaning if it was the same. Her spiritual birthday was the same as her real birthday. But this is Julia. Me and Heather, the American girl there that you can't see in the picture, we studied with Julia, and Emily and Johnson are not in this picture. But we studied with them a good deal. And they'd actually heard about it before, and they'd been studying before. It was not me and Heather that did it, but through our help and through the help of several other Americans and Chinese, like I said, Julia was baptized April 1st. So were Carol and Mildred. All three of them were baptized April 1st, which was great. We would rent a hotel room and just go and use the bathtub there and baptize them. This is Peter again. This is Crystal. She moved to Ningbo in April, and she had been studying in another city where she had gone to college at, and she found out about us through one of the teachers in Shanghai, who gave him my number, and she contacted us and has been meeting with us since. And she's been a big blessing. She's just a whole lot of fun and very energetic and tiny. She's like really short. let's see. That's Liang Ping. LP is what we call her because it's easier to say than Liang Ping. She's been baptized many years ago, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, by Chuck Harley, who is now one of the leaders of the China Now program. He spent, I think, 2 years in Chongqing, another city in China. And while he was there, he studied with Liang Ping and baptized her. And they are very close, like father and daughter. And so whenever he visits to bring new teachers or to talk with the university, they will go and spend time together. This is her husband, Luke. This is her husband, Louis. Luke is Cherry's husband. This is Louis, LP's husband. They've been married for several years, but in the beginning of June, they had a wedding ceremony. The marriages in China are confusing because they will get a marriage certificate and legally be married, and then maybe a year or two later they will have a wedding ceremony, and so it's kind of confusing. But they'd actually had a Chinese wedding ceremony last year, but they had a Western wedding ceremony in June that several of the girls helped organize and everything, and it was really great, just a lot of fun, and a lot of Chinese people there, and a lot of Christians. But this is her husband, Louis, who is not baptized. He's been studying a little bit, and he comes, when LP does. I don't think he really believes, but Hopefully, he will come to understand and to believe. She lives in a city about 2 hours, about 2 hours south of Ningbo. And so she can't come every week because, like I said, the Chinese work constantly. But she comes very often. And like I said, it's 2 hours there and 2 hours back. And the buses do not run very frequently. And so she pretty much will take a two-hour bus ride to come. She will meet with us for an hour or two and then immediately have to take a two-hour bus ride back just to get back to the city that she lives in, which is why she can't come every week, but she does come quite often. And occasionally, like once a month or once every other month, we will go out there to the city she lives in and meet with her to, you know, just to help her out because it gets kind of expensive taking buses back and forth. But this is Amanda and Kelly and Heather. These are the three American girls that were with us this year. All of them are Fried Hardeman graduates. This is Stephanie's birthday. This is Stephanie here. This is her birthday party. She's a freshman this year at the university and grew up in a Christian home. Her parents are Christians. We had a birthday party for her. This is just a bunch of the other Christians. This isn't actually her birthday. This is the Sunday, I think, before her birthday. But we would, you know, we had a cake for her. This is Helena, who that same day, as we were celebrating Stephanie's birthday, decided she wanted to be baptized. And so we had a birthday party, not just for Stephanie, but for Helena also. Helena since has moved to Tianjin, which is up near Beijing. And so she's not, you know, worshiping with us anymore, but she has found a congregation up there. In total, we had lots and lots of Bible studies. I don't even know how many people we studied with. But we did have six baptisms this year. This is Emily and Johnson. Me and Heather studied with them for several months, and they were baptized in March. They're a married couple. He actually works for the local newspaper in the Communist Party office of the newspaper. And so hopefully, you know, I was studying with him a lot, trying to get him to take some leadership in the church. And hopefully he will, in the next coming years, grow and become a leader there. Because, like I said, he works at the newspaper in the Communist Party office, and hopefully will, you know, be able to help the government. The government is changing, and they are loosening up some of their regulations. But until they do, we just pretty much ignore them. They tell us that we can't preach to people. We can't teach them. We are allowed to talk about religion, but we're not allowed to convert them to a religion. But Acts chapter 4, 19 and 20, when Peter and John are before the Sanhedrin, verse 19 says, "But Peter and John answered them," you know, they've been told by the Sanhedrin, "Don't preach about Jesus anymore. You got to stop." "Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.'" And this is the reason we go to China. They tell us, you know, we don't talk about Jesus. You know, don't talk about the Bible. And we go over there and say, "Look, God has told us to go. God has told us to preach. You know, it's more important for us to listen to him than to you." We do try and respect them as much as we can. We don't flaunt the fact that we're teaching people, but we do teach people. And like I said, I had a great year. The other teachers there had great years also. Two of us are going back next year. One of them, Graham Bates, who was not in any of these pictures, also a Fried Hardeman graduate, will be in Ningbo again. I am heading back July 26th or so, and I'll be in Nanjing, where there is nobody. There is another American couple, and they've been there since February, and that's the entire church in Nanjing. So hopefully, through their work and through my help, we will be able to get some contacts and some Bible studies going. Hopefully, we will be able to get the church established there. But thank you for your time, and I'm out of time. I think I'm over time. So that's all I got for now.